This is Classic Rain number 9 for November 22, 2019. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. From 1984 into the 90s, a weekly Chicago area net called the Bear Information Service, BIS, originated on the broadcast employees' amateur repeater from Schaumburg, Illinois, on 145.15 MHz. There were several unique features about the BIS. One was the number of VHF and UHF repeaters that simulcast this lengthy Wednesday night production. More than 12 in Chicago, Northwest Indiana, and Southeast Wisconsin. One regular Cook County check-in was Stuart Bear, WD9DRP. Stuart was always good for a controversial commentary. Here's a two-part op-ed piece he wrote and voiced in 1989.
I guess there are certain things in this world that one must acquire a taste for. Some of these things that come to mind are snails, escargot, as the jet set likes to call them. Another is raw oysters. And last, but not least, is contesting or DXing. 10 years of listening to DXing or contesting, I have still not been able to acquire a taste for that, no matter how heavy a sauce you cover it with. I can probably say that I can count the contacts I have made on the low bands on one hand that had any meaning or that have inspired me enough to call one more CQDX. Yes, I can say that sitting on a comfortable chair talking to someone at length around the world can be a pleasurable and enlightening experience, but can anyone out there tell me what the kick is in waiting in line while some appointed midwife gives me the go-ahead to exchange S-meter reports? How can anyone dare to pollute the airwaves with such utter nonsense? What gratification can anyone get in having someone acknowledge you are a 5'9 good luck old man? What have you learned? What have you created? In addition to tying up valuable band space with this glorified CB nonsense, we have portions of the 2-meter band being used to tell the DXers on the low bands where the really big fish are biting. On several occasions when I had a pipeline to some distant land and attempted to ask the voice at the other end something of relevance, such as, what do you do for a living? How many children do you have? What are your other hobbies, etc.? I was whisked away and told there are too many people waiting in line to make contact. Let's call it what it really is. Like something else that comes to mind, a quickie, and just about as unfulfilling and disappointing. Is this what this portion of the hobby is really all about? A call sign? An S-meter report? Isn't it a little like two ships passing in the night? I don't know what possesses anyone to sit in a room behind a microphone or key, waiting in line to contact another guy sitting a room behind a microphone or key, waiting to exchange S-meter reports, not learning a thing about his country, his lifestyle, his family, things in general. I can assure you, if I were going to try to attract anyone to this hobby, it certainly would not be by listening to the low bands on the weekends. I asked some avid DXers what the charge is in hammering away hour after hour trying to get a scrap of paper acknowledging a contact. They told me it's a challenge. Moving a little from side to side of center frequency to see if the guy at the other end is also moving a little bit from side to side of center. So I tried it, and my family watched, including my wife, who is also a ham, and told me to seek prompt medical attention, or at least switch to stamp or coin collecting that has some lasting and meaningful value. I think someday when archaeologists unearth our remains and find all those QSL cards, only then will they understand why ham radio has become extinct. It is symptomatic of our society to only hear what one wants to hear. If you listen closely to part one, you should have drawn the conclusion that I am not against DXing. DXing is a vital part of our hobby. We are in a most unique position. What other hobby offers the opportunity to have communication between distant lands, a only the ability to talk to other men and women sharing the same interest in communist countries. We have a profound responsibility because of our unique ability and license to conduct ourselves with the highest degree of professionalism. What I do object to is amateurs conducting themselves the same way we like to accuse CB operators. Don't forget, many of us came from those humble beginnings. I think anyone engaging in pile-ups for the sole purpose of someone telling you that you are a 5'9 or a 2'2 is a lot of nonsense. I think anyone creating a pile-up or engaging in a pile-up is wasting valuable band space and airtime. It has the same results as a pile-up on the expressway. I feel awards and recognitions for a job well done are personally gratifying, whether it be at your job or hobby or sport. Simply having someone at the other end acknowledging that a contact has been made, no matter how poor the contact is, for the sole purpose of receiving a document is nothing less than tacky. I cannot imagine what the founding fathers would say if they knew our hobby has been turned into a three-ring circus. Rather than striving for technical excellence and striving to create goodwill between countries. I do not think the ARRL or any other award-giving body should present anyone with a certificate unless that individual could show that those confirmations between amateur radio operators have some substance. Even a weightlifter must hold the bar over his head for so many seconds before that lift is recognized as complete. I simply do not see amateur radio as a contest. The amount of contacts that one can usually make in a given time period is generally related to the amount of dollars per watt someone is willing to invest. Yes, I too can become one of those big guns on the airwaves. All I have to do is plunk down a small fortune and set aside some time and buy the equipment. Big deal.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
The sharing of opinions during a local VHF-UHF net is often like beating a dead horse for the lack of response generated. However, during the years of the Bear Information Service from 1984 through the mid-90s, an opportunity to express varying viewpoints was encouraged during a segment called the 90-Second Sound-Off. Following the 1989 Stuart Bear WD9DRP Anti-DXing and Contesting op-ed piece you just heard, there was much to be voiced.
I agree with Stuart 100%, but I'll go a step farther. A guy who's in the hobby and he encounters a pileup for the first time and he's maybe a little confused and he tries to, what the heck is going on? And he puts a question mark out there. What's going on? And somebody comes back and calls him a lid. It happened to me, so I know it's got to still be happening. The pileups are, I can't say all of them are bad. But the ones that I've run into, the majority of them are absolutely barbaric. The people act like animals. They not only have to get in there first and hurry up and make their contact so they can get their piece of paper back in the mail, but normally very civilized human beings are acting like total barbarians when it comes to a pileup because they're afraid that this person who's inquiring might make them miss their turn in line. KKN Romeo.
Well, one of the nicest things about amateur radio is its diversity. There's something for everybody. If you open a ham radio magazine, a 73 magazine, a QST magazine, there's diversity right there. There's three major magazines for amateur radio. There's people who work 2 meters. There's people who work repeaters. There's people who rag chew. There's rag chewers club certificates signed by the old sock. There's DXCC. There's traffic handling nets, and there are any number of people who get on the air only long enough to test their newest construction project, see if it works, and get right back to the bench again. To say that any one facet of amateur radio is worthless or useless is no better or no worse than saying that. the DXer would be equally allowed, for lack of a better word, to come up and say that the bare information service is useless, or that people rag-chewing are sitting there tying up frequencies and making it impossible for them to work DX, or that the experimenters are wasting their time experimenting and they should be on the air talking to other people. If there weren't the diversity in amateur radio, there would be fewer hams, and that's not what we're looking for either. This is K9ID.
Operating on the high-frequency bands got to be rather unsatisfying because it's so difficult to conduct a meaningful conversation with anybody, especially anybody out of the country, because of the way DXing is handled and the fever there is for making a contact and running and so on and so on. My getting back into ham radio corresponded to my buying a 2-meter radio, and I have found a good deal of satisfaction in being able to converse with amateurs regularly on a whole bunch of subjects at leisure on 2 meters. That is a whole lot more satisfying than the high frequency operation that I've done in the past. This is W9NQO.
The difference between ham radio today and of yesteryear is the lack of patience and courtesy on the air. There's so much of it nowadays of people getting into arguments when they think they own a frequency. But I guess they don't realize how many hams are trying to use these frequencies. So that's my wish for ham radio, that they could be a little more patient with people that interfere with them. W9UR.
Just want to make a comment. I'm a volunteer examiner for two groups, actually, although I spend most of my time with one. Nowadays, of course, it's a lot easier than it used to be to get a license. But I always get a kick out of being able to smile across the desk after grading a paper and welcoming somebody else to the hobby. I look forward to doing that more and more